heard you were a lawyer previously. Do you have to be, you know, like really fierce as a lawyer? Like, you know, in all those K-dramas, they got like the hammer and everything.
Wow, super, super, super scary. So much to the point that I was completely scared of. So what they say is really true. You gotta be super tenacious and super, super scary to make it in the legal industry.
Hi everybody and welcome back to the group chat. So today we're doing something that you guys have requested, which is literally about the art stream for the A-levels. Daryl showing off his omala. And anyway, here with us we have Teacher Jia Le, who specializes in general paper. So maybe you can introduce a little bit more about yourself, specifically what you're teaching also.
Hello, so my name is Jia Le. I am currently teaching general paper. At Overmarked, I used to be a lawyer, former lawyer for about 1 to 2 years, and then currently now I am pursuing teaching full time because it's something that I really enjoy and I want to work towards that goal.
So if you're a JC1 and you're tuning in, right, Jia Le might be teaching you currently. So hopefully this is applicable for you, especially to the art stream students. We just want to give you guys a shout out. We really care about you guys, not just the sciences too. Okay, so the first question of today's podcast is, how is the A-level science stream different from the art stream? Maybe we can get Jia Le to share a little bit more first.
Okay, so some background. I was actually from a hybrid combination in junior college. So the differences between the science and the art stream is super huge lah. On the science part of things, generally it's more skills-based, more... okay, maybe just a bit of context first. My combination was actually geography, chemistry, math and econs for H2 before I eventually dropped my geography to a H1 nearer to the A-levels. So in terms of the contrast between the science and the art stream, the science stream is really, really, to me, much about the practice, whereas for the art stream, so much content, so much memorization, and really requiring many different kinds of skills just to excel at both.
Okay, maybe we can talk a little bit more about, you know, the idea of science versus art stream. How is it different studying both subjects, since especially you took a hybrid combination? Was there any difference in the way you approach studying these subjects for A-levels?
Well, in terms of studying, I would say that for math and science, I took chemistry, right? So for math and chemistry, at least, it was trying to do a lot of practice papers, trying to get the key concepts down. Whereas for geography and econs, it was really about trying to churn out the content, understanding the case studies. So even the way that I approached the notes was kind of different. For the sciences, I did things like mind maps, right? Trying to understand the concepts within the chapters. Organic chem, for example, I was trying to draw the links between the different kinds of alkanes, alkenes, alcohols, and things like that. Whereas for geography and econs, it was really about trying to understand the concepts and trying to bring out the understanding and trying to apply it, writing it in a paragraph kind of format, answering the question, making sure that I was able to apply the theoretical concepts that I've learned into something that was a bit more substantive, right? Because the questions are really about applying the concepts into real life ideas and things like that.
Yeah, thanks for that. Daryl, how about you, specifically because you are studying science stream? How did you approach, you know, the whole A-level period?
For myself, I have always had a liking for GP. Because today is GP, right? So I want to talk more. Okay, art stream, let's contextualize. I can only speak in context of geography and GP because those are like, I would consider a non- science subject. Now for geog itself was because I took pure geog back in secondary school. So I found that the transition was actually quite easy. However, subsequently when I was in my second year in JC, I actually dropped from H2 to H1. On hindsight, that was a great decision because I didn't like the physical geog aspect. A lot of people like those plate tectonics, all those stuff. I really hated it. I don't care what type of rock it was, but I really did enjoy the human geog aspect of things. And in totality, it was fantastic because I got A for my H1 geography at A-levels. So it was like a very good decision for me to make that shift. As for GP, it was always something that was very fun for me rather than painful because there's just so much world context to it. So when you learn GP, it's not just about learning how to score well, but you actually learn more about the world, the different perspective, how to make arguments, how to be a lot more well-informed about the world around you. So GP lessons were fun for me. I think the format in which you can learn GP is also more varied. So the classroom is a lot more fun and exciting. For me, I had a very important goal for my GP because the course I wanted to enter requires my GP to be at minimum a B, and all along my English hasn't been very good. So it was always a constant struggle, but thankfully I did hit the grade and I managed to go on to go to the uni course that I wanted. But I would say that GP is something that you can actually enjoy learning, and therefore it translates to good results over time. But it requires you to be very well read lah, in that sense.
Yeah, actually that's so true. Just to hop in here, I have a pain point, which is GP, which is great that we're speaking about it today. GP was my only B, so that kind of sucks. So maybe Jiala, you can really delve into what strategies can help us to master GP today. But anyway, speaking about the art stream, I am a pure art student. So we've got Jiala, who's kind of like a hybrid, Daryl, who's like science stream, and then I'm like specifically art stream. My combination is HELM, so history, econs, literature, and a H1 math. For art students taking your combinations, if you are JC1, you're listening and you're deciding between like a H2 or H1 math, I would say if you don't intend to do something science in uni, please just take a H1 math. It will save you a lot of pain points and you can focus on the art subjects that you're really, really good in, especially if you have like a specialization. So for me, my take on the art stream is that it's like a completely different ballgame from like your O-levels. It's something where you need to study smart. You cannot just memorize. You got to be strategic in understanding the answer key. And we'll go more into that later. But the entire idea of the art stream is you need to know what your tutors want to see, right, in Cambridge. You need to know what answers they are looking out for. If you don't have those keywords, if you can't construct your arguments well, go and take a look at the answer sheet. Always go back to the answer sheet and take a look at the model. And then from there, work out what parts of my answer need to improve. How can I get better? Okay, so I won't give it away because we'll talk about this a little bit more. So the next question is basically, you know, for the A-level art stream students, let's talk strategies for each and every subject. Like, we're just going to go through the whole round today. Let's start with GP. Jiala, over to you.
Wonderful. Okay, so for GP, right, I think that the main problem that a lot of students face today, right, is really the fact that schools have been taking a very backseat approach when it comes to delivering content. So it might be different from my time or even your time, right, Gabby, where there were lectures that the teachers would sit down and then they would just go through the content, like what's testable for media, what should you know, what are some good case studies. That doesn't really happen anymore. It's kind of very independent kind of approach. Tutors just give students the whole bundle of resources and they're expected to make something out of it. So that is really, really the most painstaking struggle that I think most students have with GP, which is, what are the examples? And then if I don't have the examples, at the same time, how do I come up with the points? I don't even have any content mastery. So I would say if we're talking about strategies, right, really try to be well-read. I think that's really the first part, right? Daryl made some mention of this earlier. In GP, you'll do really, really well if you happen to be very well read. And at the same time, that is something that is very, very useful for you when you go on to uni and even when you go out to work, right? That's something that's very, very useful. So one very specific tip that I have from all my students for GP, right, is to follow things like your Singapore Current Affairs. So start small, follow like your Straits Times, follow their Instagram, follow their Telegram chats, right, where they share all these like local bits of news. You know, just make it a point that every day you read one piece of news. And then from there, you can slowly start to build up. You have 365 days a year, right? That's 365 examples that you can have. Lah. After that, when you're a bit more comfortable, move on to like international case studies, international examples. And from there, I mean, you're really above a cut above the rest of the students lah, who don't really have these examples to really back up the kind of arguments that they have. One tip that worked really, really well for me, and I even carried this tip all the way until uni, right, is to, for especially for students in art streams, and this tip applies not just for GP, but even for joint econs, collab with your friends, right? Go and make tables, generate your points and examples, make it into a kind of like a group thing where everyone contributes one point or like one example, and then once that starts to build up, right, you realize that you have an entire bank of examples and points that you can use for every different kind of topic. And you can have a friend that specializes in media, you can have a friend that specializes in arts, just because they like those topics more. So you build off your expertise based off their own interests and their own knowledge, and you contribute in your own way. Like if you're a science student who are struggling with arts, maybe for GP, you can specialize in science and technology questions, right? Those might be more of your alley. And then once you have those, then you take the points and examples from other students who might be comfortable with things like governance, things like that. And once you have that, it's kind of like a collaborative thing. I found it super helpful for me because the content was just so much for me to really, really handle. Dividing into bite-sized pieces and everyone contributing a little bit to each of the points really, really helped. And this helped me all the way until, when I was in law school, I was doing case studies with my friends and things like that. So super helpful.
Maybe I can drop in here, right? Since we are talking about GP, something that I felt worked for me that could work for a lot of you as well is that I wasn't that big a consumer of written text. So when it comes to current affairs, asking me to read Straits Time or any publishing is tough, but instead I do a lot better with audio and video. So something that I do a lot is actually listen to podcasts. And this podcast can discuss very general affairs to keep you very well informed. And it's usually in a very easy and digestible manner because you could be on your way to school just plugging in your AirPods and just listening to this news every morning for maybe 10 or 20 minutes. Some of you might prefer it in a more visual format. You probably can find channels that are covering current affairs on YouTube or any other platforms. I find that those kind of information banks are very helpful. So in a way, right, the way to approach getting more examples and getting more real-world context in GP is not something you study, but it's something that you build curiosity in. Because the more sources of media you consume, you get more varied viewpoints. It's really about turning the time from doom scrolling to productive scrolling, right? That's really the only adjustment you need to do because you are already on your phone 24/7. So instead of doom scrolling your TikTok or IG and stuff like that, why not just doom scroll, but do it for current affairs? That way you start to realize that now I know so much more about the world. In a way, is to evoke that sense of curiosity in yourself that you want to find out a bit more about current affairs. Why are certain things a certain way? Who are the players involved? Whenever you approach an event or an issue, think in terms of your 5W and 1H, right? To give you a better sensing of what's happening. And a lot of times, such discussion are a lot more powerful when you give context, right? So there are many current affairs that are going on in the world, whether it's a war in Ukraine, Russia, you're talking about Gaza situation, but you want to really understand the context. What is the history behind it? And that could be the very fun part as well. So if you do take history, right, where relevant, there's actually a very strong crossover in terms of understanding current affairs and how historically things were structured. So that is a very strong build on. Even for geography itself, there's a strong link because the way you study globalization, different human geog topics are actually highly intertwined with GP as well. You might be studying literature, but you realize that a lot of the arguments you will learn how to make over there could be carried over to GP as well. So the thing is that for art stream, right, the reason why it's good to take a lot of art subject together is because ultimately it is a language-based approach. The better you're able to write your arguments, it translates across all the essays that you're writing. And a lot of this knowledge can actually be cross-seeded. So if you're taking art stream, it's actually a good thing. Just be aware that once you get more information, more examples, it's just how smart you are to reposition them for different users. So I mean, that is the beauty of the art stream, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, Dara is so right for that. I was just hoping to say, like, the key to really doing well in the art stream is really not about memorizing. Once again, it's about the flexibility of your mind to go like, okay, I have this information. I'm going to structure it together to answer this particular question. And maybe for another GP question, right, I can use that same information, but I can tweak my argument. So it's really about that flexibility in your ability to think, which is why I love the art stream. Anyway, enough about me rambling about my love for the art stream. Maybe Jiala can bring us through a little bit more about, you know, like geog or econs. How do you study for those subjects? Especially econs, because I know econs is like a huge killer for a lot of people.
Hey, perfect. So let me get started on econs first then, since that is, I think something that a lot of students, when they take it as a contrasting subject, right, that's something that they really struggle with. I think econs is kind of a bit different compared to the rest of the art subjects. In econs, I felt that the biggest issue for me at the time was trying to understand all the concepts. Like what exactly is PED, YED, and how does that play in the bigger picture of things, right? And then, you know, why is there market failure and all these kind of things? What micro and macro, like what's going on? But I found that one really useful trick was really just to boil down to it what exactly the concepts mean and how the concepts actually relate to each other. And once you're able to understand that at the core level, it really then is about applying that into the real life examples, the kind of case studies that the school gives you. And from there, trying to adapt in the exam situation to what exactly is the case study or the example or the scenario, hypothetical scenario that the paper is asking you to examine. I think once you have that, right, actually it becomes much more manageable, right? I think a lot of students also struggle with the graphs, right? Graphs, I think, isn't something that comes very intuitively. So I think trying out essays and then trying to map out the kind of graphs, use different colors, you know, I loved using different colors to make my notes super colorful. And at the end of the day, when I look at it, oh my God, I feel so accomplished, right? And over there, it's about trying to understand exactly what the points on the graph mean, and then translating that into the actual paragraphs of analysis, and then using that to score well for the essay component. So at the end of the day, I think it boils down to the concepts.
Actually, I just wanted to hop in here on that. So as I mentioned just now, H2 Econs is something that a lot of kids struggle with. If you're like me, you've got like a full-on arts brain, right? It's hard for you to figure out the graphs and like how to draw. So if you think in words, maybe what would be helpful is to trace the process. So from one concept to the other, let's say a product becomes cheaper. What exactly happens? So you need to kind of like write an arrow and go like, okay, when A happens, concept B applies, C happens, and then the concept applies, and then D happens. So if you are able to trace each and every process, you'll find that actually in your answers, you will be able to tick off all the different keywords and the key concepts that you need to use. We also had another episode where we talked about looking at the marks allocation. If you look at the marks allocation, it should kind of tell you how many concepts you need. So for econ students, please take a look at that, especially for your CSQ. Basically, they give you like a situation, right? And then you have short answer questions. Pay very close attention to the marks allocation because you could write a whole chunk for maybe like 2 marks or 3 marks, and then it just might not be relevant. It might be something they want to see in your later questions. So that is econs. For now, let's head for a commercial break. I'm sure there was a lot for you guys to digest, and we'll see you guys in the second half.
Hi, everyone. If this is your first time tuning into our podcast, welcome. Overmark is one of Singapore's fastest growing secondary and JC tuition brands. We're located all across Singapore, including locations like Kovan, Bukit Timah, and Marine Parade. If you're curious about the learning experience here at Overmark, sign up for a free trial lesson anytime. And with that, back to the podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the second half of the podcast. We have a lot to share with you guys. So I'm going to kick us off by talking a little bit about history before I pass the time on to Jiale to talk about job. So for history, the most important thing is, let's say, your source-based questions, right? You want to be able to understand the context of each and every one of the sources and who's writing the source before you jump in and blindly analyze it. Let me give you an example, right? You've got so many sources and it's written by different people. Some of the people are directly related to, let's say, the World War, the conflict that you're writing about. Some people are on the fringes of it, right? So you don't want to jump in and say like, hey, this guy is saying something important when actually he's not really involved and he's just giving a commentary or something like that. So you got to figure out which sources are kind of more important, which one weighs more in terms of whatever historical context you're speaking about. Let me give you a little bit of an example. Okay, so let's say you have like modern day drama. I'm not sure if you guys know it, like Daryl and Jiale, you know, the It Ends With Us, like the whole Blake Lively drama. Basically, the drama was talking about very sensitive issues about abuse, and she was just not addressing it in a way that was hitting the nail. She was talking about random things when it should have been a very serious conversation. So let's say Blake Lively's co-star comes in and he defends her, right? And then think about it as he's providing you a source, right? He's saying certain things. Maybe the director comes in and he says certain things. And maybe a feminist magazine comes in and she says something else also. So all these provide you different sources and they come from different points of view. The question is, when you analyze these points of view, which one weighs more and why do they say the things that they say? Think about it in terms of like a drama. Let's say her co-star says something, right? He's like, oh no, I side with her. I understand she's not addressing it. She's been through a lot, she's tired, blah, 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 blah. So he could be saying all this because it's not the truth, right? It could be because he's trying to defend the movie, he's trying to make sure that people at least don't drag her and the movie down and drag him down. So the context and who says what really matters. So when you do your source-based questions, please think about it in terms of modern-day celebrity drama. Look at who's saying what, see whether it's important, see whether they have an ulterior motive. Next up, when you look at your essays, right, you don't just jump in and write the essay immediately. What you need to do is spend the first 1 minute actually unpacking the question. What is the question actually asking you to argue about? There are certain types of questions that ask you certain types of things. Do you agree, disagree, right? Then you should basically do like a very simple introduction where you say like, I agree to this extent, I disagree to this extent. Overall, in conclusion, I agree. So always make sure you circle back to what the question wants and give them what they want while weighing all the different factors and historical context and whatever. The last thing you want to do is to jump in a question without actually knowing what the question is asking. And then you write like a whole spew of history with nothing achieved, okay? So history is really not about you spitting the dates. It's really about you evaluating the arguments. Okay, that being said, how does things work for the jock side, Jiale or Daryl?
So maybe I can start first. Okay, I can't comment on certain things that have been added since my time. For example, we all know that there's now the addition of fieldwork, right? Which I think to me would have been super fun, but maybe not so for Daryl, like, who maybe didn't really enjoy the physical geography side of things, right? So that really adds a additional level of arbitrariness into the paper itself, right? Because students might not know how to prepare for the fieldwork component, and that makes the written component much more important, right? And to really score well for the geography kind of essay questions, to hit the highest level of analysis possible, you really need to think about the cross-topic links. So nowadays, any student can just write about the topics within each of their own silos, right? Like globalization itself, maybe transportation or certain other things. But the way to score really, really well and to show off your knowledge is to examine the links between the different topics itself. And then I think now it's 9 and 16 marks kind of essay questions. So for the 16 kind of mark essay questions, right, you will really, really need to be able to understand each of the themes well, bring in points of evaluation from the other teams, and from there really evaluate and provide kind of like different kind of dimensions, different kind of realms for the examiner to know that you're really, really well-versed in geography itself. In terms of tips, I would say that, you know, really the key is really to be super consistent with geography, because there's really so much content. And like Gabby said, you know, it's really, really hard to memorize many things, especially when you have other subjects to worry about. So the key really is to recap consistently, understand consistently. Don't slack off like I did, and then I had to rush at the very last moment, and I ended up dropping to a H1 because I couldn't cope. So for those taking H2 geography or even H1, right, the amount of content is so much. So get started on early if you can. I think that's really the biggest tip, even for most art subjects.
I think for me, right, when we talk about geography and how you approach it, for context, I took pure geog in O-level. I loved it, but I really had an inkling I didn't like the physical geog. I think it's actually the other way around for a lot of people. From what I understand when I ask my students, they like the physical part. It's the human geog part that they didn't like. Now, I'm speaking a little bit out of my depth here because I know that the geog syllabus has changed quite a bit since I took it. But I think the generic framework of how geography works is still largely the same. So I think what I'll comment on is more on the mentality when it comes to tackling it as a subject rather than the content specific. Now, I would say for geography itself, you actually need to study it with a inkling or sensing of how this information is relevant in the exam. What do I mean? So you can study about the different types of rocks, different types of plate tectonic movement. For human job, you can talk about different stuff. But you also need to understand what are your syllabus requirements. Meaning, what is it in terms of the learning outcome that they expect you to know? And what could be tested in an exam? Therefore, every time you study content, it's not just content, but content that you know you have an application and something you can actually use in the exam to score well. I'll say what I recommend all of you to do if you haven't done so is to pull out the syllabus document off SEAB's website, flip through your TOS to look at all the questions that have been tested so far, match whether the content you have studied is relevant and useful in the exam. Those bits and pieces of information that you're then able to piece together and use in your exam is what will allow you to score well. So the thing with, I would say generically, any art stream subject is really the ability to condense your knowledge into bits that is easy to remember and then actually put it in the exam and therefore scoring well. Now, if you're struggling with more of the essay component itself, I would say it's due to a lack of practice. That's one, because the more you try, the better you get at it. I think getting feedback on your essays are super important. So if you just do essays and you just leave it as is, there is no point because you're writing the same style. Your arguments are all made in the same way. You're not actually improving from it. So whenever you have any assignment or you're doing practices, make sure to get feedback either directly from your teacher. As per what I understand, all the overmark tutors here will give you feedback on how you're performing. And that's the only way you actually improve. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you cannot expect to get different results, right? So that is just like knocking your head on the wall and expecting yourself to be smarter. Don't do that, right? So ask for feedback and be open to that feedback. If your teacher says this one can be better, you ask them for the feedback, accept it and grow from it. See the next time if you do it in a similar way, whether things get better. Trust the experience and really your tutor's knowledge on things. A lot of times, I feel right, wow, I'm an essay damn sweet, yeah. I'm like the best thing ever. And come back, it's not a good grade, right? You get a C, a B grade for the essay and you're like, hey, but this is perfect in your own opinion, right? So sometimes it also helps to get others' opinion, whether it's a teacher or even your friend, to give you constructive feedback on how you can do better. So two parts on how the content must be relevant to what will be tested in the exam. And second thing, actively seek feedback if you are planning on improving real fast.
Oh, Dara is so right for that. Can I just say, especially for the art stream students, Dilulu is not a Salulu here, okay? So art stream students, you really need to get feedback for your essays. You could be writing the same thing and submitting it happily, but if it's not a good essay, it will never be a good essay, no matter how many times you try, okay? So what I did specifically for my exams that really saw like leaps and bounds of improvements is, let's say I submit an essay to teacher Jiala about GP. He comes back with a grade. And then I go like, eh, I thought it was a great essay, why? Right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to divide my essay into the different arguments, first and foremost. Secondly, I'm going to identify the examples I used. Then I'm going to look at my arguments and go, was this argument even strong in the first place? Does it even link to the second argument, the third argument? Is it being debunked properly? So when I divide it into chunks, I know which part I did well, which part I didn't do well. And then don't just do it on your own and go like, okay, you know what? Time to pack it up, I'm done. Right, check in again. So what I would do is I'll meet my teachers and go like, okay, this is what I've analyzed to be correct, to be wrong. I did well here, I didn't do well here. Therefore, the essay collapsed or therefore the essay did well. Can you help me see if this is correct and if this is the correct approach? So then when you have those checks and balances, you can replicate that pattern again. When you do your exams in the A-levels, you don't have a lot of time. So you really got to be smart here. Okay, next up, I'm going to talk about literature. I need you guys to bear with me for a little while. I'm going to yap on a bit. Okay, for the literature students, pay close attention, okay? Let's start with talking about paper 3. So paper 3 is really all about knowing the mind and self. I'm not sure about people doing paper 2 because that will be completely different, but for me, I took paper 3. The most important thing about paper 3 is if you're not interested in the characters or if you're not interested in the condition of the human and the whole human condition, right, you're never going to do well because you don't bother to understand your characters' mindsets, motivations, attitudes, beliefs, right? In order to even write or create good, concise arguments, you need to understand their motivations. You need to understand what exactly is the question asking about their mind and self, right? Which part of the human condition is it even asking about? If you're able to nail that question, right, you're able to nail every other essay question. Okay, next up, paper 1. Specifically, I know that people study with PC comparison. So that's your poetry comparison. A lot of people are like, Gabby, how do you make comparisons between both poems? They are just two people writing about two different things, and some stupid examiner puts them together and goes like, cross-check them. But that's untrue. You must understand that they compare those two poems because there is a basis in the first place of comparison. So let's say we talk about two poems, right? One talks about maybe grief and death, and talks about how, you know, like, they are so sad about maybe their grandpa's passing. Then the other poem is talking about the inevitability of death. Like maybe during the context of war, they're like, oh yeah, death is inevitable. Death will come to you. Death will eat you up. And they use a lot of metaphors. So on the surface, you're like, what the heck is going on, right? They're writing about two completely different things, two completely different contexts. But the truth is that what centers the both of them? Death, okay? Let's start from there. If death centers them, then look at the ways in which they interpret and understand death. One is talking about the inevitability of death, but still choosing to express emotion towards it. Another one is talking about the inevitability of death and how desperate that inevitability is. So there's a sense of hopelessness there. It's not that there's a lack of emotion, but it's the flip opposite from the other poetry. Okay, it's basically about hopelessness. So both of them actually express emotions, but in complete contrast. So use the main theme, the central theme, to branch out and then figure out your arguments from there. Don't just look at the poems and go like, one is talking about war, one is talking about a grandpa, the grandpa died too bad, the war died too bad. Don't do that, okay? It's not so simple as that. Start with understanding the heart of the two poems. Okay, so hopefully that helps you guys with PC comparison arguments, and always put your techniques in. Don't just give me an essay or like, oh, this poem talks about this, the other poem talks about this, and then you don't use any of the techniques. Always back it up with the techniques, right? Tell me the effect, tell me the feelings it creates on you. If you have a personal insight or anecdote that you feel is caused by one of the techniques in the poem, write it down. The examiners love those snippets, okay? So PC is really interesting a subject. Don't just shove it one side. Yeah. Okay, with that, let's move on to our very last question of the day. Right, we've talked about all the different subjects, but the question is, how then do you make sure that you score an A for these subjects? Nobody better to ask than teacher Jiale again. Jiale, on to you.
Okay, so I would say that I echo a lot of the things that you guys have already said, right, on how to really score well for the exams. At the very core of it, really, it boils down to practice and consulting. Because learning just the content and being able to make notes or to break down the points, all of that just really isn't enough. You've got to be able to translate it into something tangible for the exams. And that means also understanding what exactly the exam requires of you, whether that means you need to answer the question directly, whether or not your points actually answer the question, whether the examples are suitable, whether or not the explanation actually links everything together. And a lot of this comes not so naturally, I would say, to most people, right? That's why a lot of people do struggle with it. So, I mean, what better way other than to really just look for a teacher, write out some essays, and then ask for feedback, lah. Okay, that's really the most important thing. Have discussions with your friends. Try to explain concepts to them, right? One very important thing that I always tell myself is, if I'm not able to explain something simply to someone else, that means that I actually don't understand the concept well enough to begin with. And that shows that there's still room for improvement. There's still room for me to better myself in whatever area that is. So have discussion with your friends, take turns teaching each other. And from there, you know, try to really build up the understanding so that it becomes more about the understanding than just memorizing the content. And I think that's really the key thing to scoring well for your arts papers.
I think it's just about a relentlessness to have the desire to make things better. I know this sounds a bit more theoretical, but a lot of times when it comes to arts, right, I feel the quantifiable improvement is hard to accept. What do I mean? When science or math questions, right, I can solve means I can solve. I can see myself scoring more marks. But sometimes we do plateau when it comes to art subjects, meaning despite me getting multiple feedback, I put in a lot of effort, my grading for my essay is still around the same. I'm still in the same grade. I'm not really improving. I think that could be frustrating for many of us. Now, the thing with art stream or art subjects, right, is that a lot of this improvement comes with time, and I would say it comes together. Meaning it's not an immediate thing, which means you have to have the patience to really trust the process of, I'm gonna, on a day-to-day basis, read up on current affairs and know that in 6 to 9 months' time, with my increased general knowledge, I'll do better for GP. I know that I'll keep writing my essay and keep getting feedback from my tutor, even though in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I might not see an immediate improvement. But over the course of the next few months and terms, I would see myself improving into another tier. So that's why I say you need to be very relentless about how you pursue improvement. Improvement in terms of your style of writing, how you construct your arguments, the examples that you use, the way you plan your time and the way you plan your essay. These are all very big things that will only show results in due time. So you have to trust the process and don't go like, wow, I listened to this podcast for 3 days, my GP not improving, I therefore give up. No lah, that's not right. So when it comes to art subject, I really recommend building a strong foundation and trust the process that over time, all the efforts that you put in will pay off. So don't be impatient. This is the same as like language, right? You cannot expect to learn like English very well in a day. That's nonsense. You can't study for English. It's the habits that you build over time by listening to good speakers to improve your oral, read more to be more well-read, you know, writing essays to get better at it. All of this is a continuous improvement process. So you cannot take your approach for math and science and try to expect a similar result for art subject. So be patient, but you also need to be consistent. I would say that will be the key difference maker if you want to survive an A-level art stream.
Thanks, Nero, for that. And just to end off today's podcast, I would just like to address something really once and for all. All those people who, you know, say like, hey, you know, should I take art stream in the first place? Art stream is fluff. The answer is that's a wrong understanding of the art stream. As you hear teacher Diala and Daryl mention, right, the art stream is not just about writing fluff or writing whatever you want. You're going to fail flat, okay? The art stream is really about constructing carefully crafted arguments that are intelligent, and you cannot measure intelligence in an art stream, right, the same way you measure intelligence in the science stream, like right or wrong, right, for a math question. Art stream is a little bit different because arguments are made of words and words are made of thoughts. You can put a grade on it, but it takes a lot of time to improve and sharpen your thinking and sharpen your overall intellect. So don't give up towards the end of your A-levels, even if you see the quantitative score not increasing for your cutoff point. Okay, so anyway, hopefully this addresses all the questions that you guys have had. We love reading your comments on YouTube. If you have more questions and if you'd like us to address anything else, please let us know. With that, remember to like, comment, and subscribe, and we will see you in the very next podcast. Bye!